You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Brother Martinez did a fantastic job last Wednesday night. I enjoyed the message thoroughly. And he said, take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And I had just started typing this message last Wednesday. I had handwritten it in a journal that one of the members of our class gave me. And so I'd been pondering this message and several of these thoughts that I'll give you tonight. But anyhow, I was typing it out last Wednesday, and I started that process, and Brother Martinez got up and said, turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and my heart sank. I thought, oh no, is he going to preach my sermon? He did not, but he preached the first point, so that's okay. He's got the introduction laid out, so we can skip through all of that. But I'm going to look with you together. We're just going to read a couple of verses. I wanted to read more, but for the sake of time, we're going to pick this up in verse number 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That little phrase, a glorious church, in verse 27, gripped my heart years ago. And I've always desired to be a member of not just a good church, and not just a great church, but to be a part of a glorious church. Amen. And so tonight I just want to take a few moments as we consider, what does a biblical church look like from our text this evening, and what are the attributes of a glorious church? I saw Brother Houston down here with the trumpeters, and it was great to have them back home. I rejoiced to see people coming home from vacation, and what a blessing that is. And I got to thinking, you know, to have one man down there playing the trumpet is good. And having two men is great. And I love the word great. Pastor loves the word great. It's all through the Bible. That's one of the things the Lord opened my eyes to since I've been here reading through the Bible, all the greats of the Bible. But there's something glorious, right, when you have those trumpeters all together. So let's bow for a word of prayer and we'll commit our time. Father, I pray you give me clarity of mind and heart now. Help me to say all that you want said, and yet, Lord, help me to say nothing you want said. And I pray that, God, you would be magnified through the message tonight, God, that your people would be edified, that you would feed your people from your word and speak to every heart tonight. We'll be careful to make sure that we give you the glory for what you do, as we desire to do all to the glory of God, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There are marks of a glorious church that we see here in the book of Ephesians. We have to acknowledge, first of all, what is the church? Is it the building? I don't know about you, but I just believe that this building is perhaps the most beautiful building that's ever been built. I love our church building. I absolutely love it, from the top of the steeple, you know, to the choir loft and everything about it. And it's just an amazing building. It's a magnificent building. It's an illustrious building. It's a splendid building. It's an outstanding building. But the church is not the building, it's the people. Amen. And the word church, Pastor Treiber taught us in church ed many years ago, is a called out assembly. We're called out of the world and we've come to assemble together tonight. And just as you see the nation of Israel coming out of Egypt is symbolic of the church coming out of the world. And when you study this passage, you find that Moses confronts Pharaoh. And at one point he says, let us go 3 days journey into the wilderness to worship the Lord. And Pharaoh says, look, you can go, but don't go very far away. And I would submit to North Valley Baptist Church tonight, that is a picture of the cry of the world to the church of today. And that simply is a cry that says, don't go very far away. Be like the world. And God has called the church out of the world to be different from the world. When ministries build people, eventually they will build buildings. And our ministry has been blessed to build some amazing buildings, and I believe it's just a reflection of the amazing people of North Valley Baptist Church. And perhaps that's why We have these great facilities. It's the greatness of God's people. And, of course, a great facilities director. He's doing such a great job as well. But what is a glorious church? Does it mean the size? If it's not in the facilities and the buildings, is it in the size? But I'm reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew 18 and verse number 20, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. I want to thank you for showing up tonight. I really thought it was going to be two or three gathered in his name, but we've got a great crowd tonight. Proverbs 14:28 says, in the multitude of people is the king's honor. You see, God is not the one honored by large crowds. Man is, and yet we're reminded that the Lord is glorified when we bear much fruit. The size and magnitude of this auditorium is really a reflection of the desire of the church to bear much fruit, as the Lord has called us to do. Herein is my Father glorified. John 15:8. That ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So what does a glorious church look like? And what are the biblical characteristics of a glorious church? Well, as Brother Martinez so eloquently waxed last week, a glorious church praises the Lord with spiritual songs and hymns. And that's verse number 19. And he did a fantastic job last week laying that out biblically. And I appreciate the stand that our church takes on godly Christian music. So let's move to the second thought, verse 23. The mark of a glorious church, it's marked by the powerful leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 23 of Ephesians chapter 5 tonight that Christ is the head of the church. And it very carefully and clearly in verse 24 declares that the church is subject to Christ. Our theme right here at the front of this pulpit, that in all things he might have the preeminence, is taken from Colossians 1:18. And that verse starts off by saying, he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. And so we're reminded tonight that the church was founded by Christ. Ephesians 2:20, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And I'm reminded of Matthew 16 and verse 8, as Jesus had that dialogue with Peter in Caesarea Philippi, where he asked Peter, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Then he said, thou art Peter, little stone, and then upon this rock, speaking of himself and his deity, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus Christ is the founder of the church. And yet we see that the Holy Spirit of God is the one who empowers the church. In Matthew 28, we have the resurrected Savior before the ascension. Jesus declares in Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. You see, we cannot expect our military to go into battle without having all the tools and the technology and resources necessary to be successful. And may I submit to our church family on this wonderful Wednesday night that God has sent us into a great spiritual battle in 2024. We have been chosen by God for this very moment in world history, and he has equipped us with exactly what we need to be successful. We have the almighty power of the Holy Spirit of God, and we have the supernatural power of the eternal Word of God to do the work that God has called us to do in this day and hour. And so we're reminded that the church was founded by Christ, and we're reminded that the church is empowered by the Spirit, and we're reminded that the church is to be led by Christ. In Acts chapter 7, hold your spot in Ephesians if you would, and turn to Acts chapter 6, actually. I'm going to read to you briefly from Acts 7. We're going to be in the book of Acts a little bit as well, but please hold your spot because we're going to come back to these verses. Acts chapter 7, verse 38, we see the example of the church in the wilderness that's been given. And I'm reminded that Moses wandered with God's people for 40 years. And I got to thinking a little bit about how that must have felt. You know, could you imagine those annual business meetings every year in the wilderness? And think about that for a little bit. You know, the people are like, hey, Moses, what is the plan for the next year? And Moses would say, okay, come here, let me show you. You see the tabernacle over there? Yeah, I see the tabernacle. You see the cloud right there above the tabernacle? Yeah. When that cloud begins to move off of the tabernacle, start packing up. And when that cloud begins to move, that's where we're going. Well, how long are we going to travel? That's up to the Lord. Well, when is it going to stop? I don't know, but when it stops, we're going to stop and pitch tent again. Well, how long are we going to stop for? You know, the Bible tells us it was a day, it was a week, it was a year. Sometimes it was years. And I really believe with all of my heart, in 2024, the people of God and the churches of God and the pastors of God have to come back to just the basics, to relearn. Lord, I want to follow you just as the disciples followed the Lord. He moved when they moved, and he didn't move when they didn't move, and they were subject to their leader, the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we have some cases where churches have been hijacked by the self-will and self-interest of man. If the churches today across our country decide to be the salt and light that God has called them to be, we've got to come back to putting Jesus back on the throne and being submitted to his will and sensitive to his leading in our lives. But I believe with all of my heart, if we would do exactly what God wants us to do and become the salt and the light that God has called us to be, America in this world could see a spiritual awakening the likes of which has never been seen in all of human history. Amen. God's people across the country, by and large, in the churches, by and large, has lost their savor. But we can't blame the world for this. Paul told the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 6:3, give no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. You see, a glorious church is not only marked by praising the Lord with spiritual songs and hymns, it's not only marked by the powerful leadership of Jesus Christ, who is the head, and the church is subject unto Christ. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25 reminds us that Christ gave himself for the church. And that reminds me of Mark number 3. It's been purchased by the limitless blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest price that has ever been paid. I put in my notes for the message tonight, 1 Corinthians 6:20, and we know that verse so well, for ye are bought with a price. I was thinking about that, and I made my way into the service tonight, and I saw Brother Patrick Sparks, and for some reason, I don't see Brother Patrick Sparks, and I saw him earlier. Where is Brother Patrick? Raise your hand. Why am I looking past you? People are pointing, all right, you put your jacket on, that's why. Or you put a sweater on. He's got a big old red shirt on. And it says, what does your shirt say? It says, property of the Lord is what it says. And then it says, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. You know, we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God. And we rob God of his ownership in our lives when we think we know what's best and we think that our way is best. My daughter Joy got her driver's license last week, so really pray for everybody. All right, we love her. Amen. She's over here. Dad just threw me under the bus. All right, Joy, you made it into the sermon. All right. And I'll tell you a long story. The long story short, she wanted a certain type of car, and I went everywhere looking for it. My wife and I spent hours and last week, our day off, all day, and we couldn't find the right one. And long story short, we got up Friday last week. And there was one other vehicle. I said, if that doesn't come through, we're moving on. We're going to buy, you know, a Toyota or a Honda or something that really makes sense. And so, anyhow, I said, Daddy, I really want this kind of car. This man reached out to us. It was the color she'd been praying for, and the interior and the exterior and all of that, you know. And so I got over there, and it was in bad shape, you know. And I looked at the car. It was filthy, dirty. And I said, I think this thing will clean up, you know. And I thought, if we can get a really good deal on it, we can put the money into it, and it'll be fine, you know. So the Lord opened up all of those doors, and we got a really good deal on this great car that she really wanted. And I was so happy for her. And I sat down. I said, now, Joy, listen, you're going to have to put a lot of money into this car. You saved a bunch of money, but we got to take that money and put it into the car now, you know. And we've had it at a couple different shops, and we're doing all these various things to this vehicle. And so finally, you know, she would call and say, can I pick my car up or can I drive my car? And I said, no, I've got to fix the headlight. I got to do the windshield wiper. We got to get a tune up and, you know, all these things. And so we're trying to get all this work done and get all that taken care of. And she says, and then I said, oh, we should get it detailed too. That would be a good idea. This thing was really dirty and I got it, you know, I got it somewhat clean, but it's not professionally detailed. She said to my wife, she said, Mom, keep an eye on Dad. I'm going to work today. And I don't want to come home and find out that he spent my money to put racing stripes on my car, because I'm sure that's probably what he wants to do, you know. But, you know, if we're not careful, we take what's not ours. And I wonder sometimes what resources we use that God says, that belongs to me. You see, a glorious church not only praises the Lord with spiritual songs and hymns, it's marked by the powerful leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's purchased by the limitless blood of Jesus Christ. Christ gave himself for it. But then we notice that the church is the benefactor of his passion and love for us. Look at verse 25, please, with me. Ephesians 5, 25. The Bible says, Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself for the church. Look with me at verse number 29. I didn't read this verse. It says, for no man yet ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. It's an amazing thing to be reminded that the church is not the building, it's you and I tonight. And God says, I want to nourish you, and I want to cherish you, and I love you. The church is the object of God's love. Romans chapter 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Another mark of a glorious church, and this is the meat of the message tonight, I'm going to try to hasten through it, is that it's purified by the lasting or everlasting word of God. Verse 26, I want you to see it with me. The Bible says that he, Christ, might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. And I believe that this is the key verse, really, to this passage of Scripture. I want you to notice with me tonight that Jesus Christ himself is the one who does the cleaning. We got a puppy a year ago, and that puppy likes to get in the backyard and play in the mud. And I love that puppy. I love to hold the puppy, and we play fetch every day and have such a good time. But when that puppy gets, when Lexi gets in the mud, you can go see mama. Don't come to daddy, all right? Bathing in the word of God will cleanse the hearts of God's people. I mentioned this car. We went and looked at it. Joy was at work, and I called her and I said, you decide if you want to buy the car or not. I really think we can get it for a great deal, and I think it will clean up. And so she made the decision, yes, I want to purchase the car without seeing it, trusting mom and dad. That's a good illustration for faith. And so we got it home, and I didn't want her to come home from work with it being dirty, so I did the best I could, as quickly as I could, to wash the outside and get the tires clean. And then I looked on the inside. It was filthy on the inside. They had a car seat in the back, and it was dirty. And it's a Mini Cooper, so it's a two-door. It's a really small little car. All right, you can talk to her later about getting a Honda or a Toyota later, okay? And so my wife, I thought, was going to help me. She says, oh, honey, I got to go to Costco. So here I am. I'm trying to quickly clean the car, right? So I climb in the back of the back seat of this car, and I mean, I don't know what the kid had back there, but something melted. There was some wax that had been in the back seat that had melted in the back seat. And I'm doing everything I can to get all that mess cleaned up back there. And Brother Manley, I got stuck in the back seat of the car, and there was nobody around. I couldn't get out. I got the door. I'm trying to get the seat to move forward and all that, you know. But I am really inclined to believe that the Holy Spirit in 2024 has been confined to the dirty back seats many times of the lives of God's people. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself wants to take his very eternal word every day, and he wants to wash your life and my life with his word, and he wants to cleanse us from top to bottom, and he wants us to be like-minded, and that's how our mind is renewed, is through the washing of water by the word. There is no like-mindedness, as Pastor preached about from the book of Philippians, without being in the word of God daily. Christ does the cleansing. Christ uses the word of God to clean out our lives. Jesus prayed in John 17, 17, sanctify. That word means to make holy, to purify, to consecrate. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I love that song. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. So much of what takes place sometimes in ministry is secular humanism. It's not sacred holiness. God is to lead and to move and to be given the reins of our heart and life and submitted to. And we are to come to the Word of God daily and ask God to cleanse us and to clean us and to open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of His law, to let our mind be renewed by the very Word of God. And I made a pivotal decision decades ago as the Spirit of God was speaking to my heart about the power of the Word of God. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And just as I put these glasses on so I can see more clearly, I envision biblical lenses. Because we want our politicians in 2024 to have a biblical worldview. But how can they have a biblical worldview if you and I don't look at life, everything we believe and everything we do, if we don't look at it through the lens of the Word of God? And I put a discipline in my life a few decades ago that everything that I believed and everything that I did, I wanted it to be done because of biblical truth and biblical principle. I wanted to have a reason for everything that I believed, and I wanted to know why I believed what I believed. And just as some people need glasses to see physically, we need God's word to see spiritually. And while we fall short, and I fall short, no doubt, all the time, I believe that we need to learn how to put on supernatural, scriptural lenses to see the world the way God desires for us to see the world. I'm grateful that we have high biblical standards on music. I've made clear of that. But our high biblical standards only come as we are committed to biblical authority. Matthew 28, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Please look with me at Acts. You're in Acts chapter 6. Hold your spot there and go to Acts chapter 20. I want you to see two other verses in Acts 20. And we look at some of these verses in Acts 20 a lot, but let me show you two verses that are skipped a lot. Verse 26 says, he says, therefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. It's a powerful verse. Verse 26 is powerful. Take time to meditate on that. He said, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And how grateful I am that God has given us Pastor and Mrs. Treber, who for nearly five decades have not been ashamed to declare the Word of God. Amen. Now, I want to show you something in Acts chapter 6, and it's very simple, and you already know this, I know. But it came alive to me again in my study, actually today, as I was finishing up the message. But I want you to look with me at Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. We know the story here. The church has taken off, and now we've got growth taking place, and now we have some widows that are being neglected. They're trying to figure this out. But the Bible says in verse 7, and the word of God, what's that next word? Increased. Is that not our goal, that the word of God would increase? So the word of God is increasing. Disciples are being multiplied. Jews are getting saved. This is a revival that's taking place right here in Acts chapter 6 and verse number 7. So what was it that caused this revival? Look with me at verse number 2. The pastors decided, here it is, not to leave the word of God and serve tables. Now I want to just say, Jesus said, the greatest of these will be your servants. Years ago, I come on staff, and I was trying to work in the big copy room and trying to get something going, and I said to one of the top-tier staff here, I said, you still do this with these copy machines? I couldn't figure it out. He said, fire me if I ever become too good to work on the copier, you know, to print. And I said, well, I don't think anybody ever gets too good to do anything, really. But I got to thinking, I don't want to spend all my time trying to figure the copier out. And I hope you understand my heart when I say that. Every pastor should be willing to serve tables. I just believe that. But wouldn't it be better if the people of God chose out leaders that could do that so that they could give themselves to the Word of God, so that they could serve up some good spiritual meals? It's not sinful to serve tables. Jesus said the greatest were the servants. And so we all must be spiritually fed. And Ezekiel 13 prophesies against the prophets who prophesied from their own heart and from their own spirit. And when we come to Acts 17, the last passage in Acts that I want you to look at with me, if you would. Verse number 11 talks about the Berean Christians. These weren't Pharisees. It says in Acts 17, verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. The church at Thessalonica was a model church. And it's declared for us here in Acts 17 and verse 11 that this church was more noble than the believers at Thessalonica. Why? They received the word with all readiness of mind. They weren't receiving it as the word of men, but as it was in truth, the word of God. So they received the word with all readiness of mind. And look at this, they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. You see, we can only be like-minded as we are biblically minded. The world lacks the power of a glorious church in 2024. And I'm thankful for the influence and the magnitude of the reach of North Valley Baptist Church. But there's got to be churches that are planted and churches that are resurrected and missionaries that are sent to the foreign field to plant glorious churches. Why? Because they follow the Word of God. They learn how to be led by the Word of God. God's Word is a lamp to their feet and a light into their path. Why is it that the church is not having the impact that it could have in 2024? Either the pastors have left the Word of God to do something good, which is serve tables, or they're afraid to declare all the counsel of God, Acts 20:27. I'm against closing down churches on Sunday night, and I'm against closing down churches on Wednesday night, but why hold services when the Word of God is not going to be proclaimed in the first place? That's the question that must be asked. And then secondly, there have to be people who are hungry to hear the Word of God. There has to be an anticipation that we get to be with God's people and we get to sing the songs of glory and the songs of Zion, and that we're ready to receive with meekness the engrafted Word that James declares to us. It's high time for God's people to get hungry, not for a good story, but for the very Word of God, sweeter also than honey, than the honeycomb. Isaiah 55, verse 10, as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Jeremiah 23, 29, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Maybe tonight you're here and you would say, I know friends and even Christians, lost people and saved people alike, but their heart is hardened to the Word of God. I'm here to tell you, keep praying for them. Keep inviting them. Keep encouraging them to come, because the Bible declares it's like a hammer that breaks stone hearts. Hardened hearts. And may I submit to you lastly, what is the last mark tonight of a glorious church? It's presented spotless to our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 27, look at this in Ephesians chapter 6. Not having spot or wrinkle, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Nobody goes to a wedding excited to see an ugly bride, right? Nobody's looking for a beautiful bride with a white robe coming down the aisle that has blemishes and a dirty wedding dress, and her hair's a mess. May I say, the only way for you and I to be presented spotless is to thoroughly and daily follow the process of allowing the Word of God to cleanse our lives, as Jesus himself takes his word and cleanses our lives. The glorious church is a church that submits itself daily to Christ and his cleansing. The trumpet's going to sound real soon, and the dead in Christ will rise. Are we ready to meet him? Tonight, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Do you know for sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? And then secondly, are you prepared and presentable to meet the Lord? Are you a glorious member? Isaiah 49:5, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. I was singing in here before the service tonight, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I love that song. But you know, it says, there's a holy hush around us as God's glory fills this place, right? And then I hear the brush of angels' wings, I see glory on each face. And I thought about many of you. I tried to get through all of you and I couldn't. But as I think about you and I think about your lives, and you are a wonderful, wonderful people, and how I thank God. I feel like I'm preaching at the choir tonight. I mean that sincerely. But from time to time, if we're not careful, we're not prepared. I jumped out of the pool. I'll close with this. And Joshua's got two jobs, summer jobs. And I was trying to get down here for men's prayer. I didn't want to have to change twice. I had a long swim shirt on all the way to my there. And I had some long shorts and some flip-flops. And I threw my wife's towel. It was pink around me. And I thought, I'm going to go mow the lawn real quick in the front. And nobody will see me and know the difference. I got halfway through and I thought, praise God, I'm almost there. And then I heard beep, beep. And I turned around. It was pastor's car. And I thought, oh, man. I got the men's prayer. And I said, oh, pastor, I'm sorry you saw me. He goes, Mrs. Treber was in the car too. That trumpet's going to sound.
Amen.
North Valley Baptist Church, I love you. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I mean that sincerely. We all have to be in God's word daily. But when was the last time you let the Holy Spirit ask you? When was the last time you confessed some sin? Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's anxiety, self-will, unbelief, depression, anger, bitterness, greed, jealousy, judgmental spirit, lying, lust, hatred, on and on and on the list could go. A lot of times we think of, you know, adultery and murder, but when was the last time the Spirit of God cleansed us? Because our nation desperately needs us to be that city that's set on a hill. With heads bowed tonight and eyes closed. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The piano will begin to play in just a moment. I want to encourage you, let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for our college as we desire to train the next generation. I love our church. I'm looking for reasons to always be in every single service. And from time to time, very rarely, I say no to multiple, and I don't get offers all the time. But when it's beneficial to our alumni, or we could have maybe one of our alumni take a church somewhere, I try to do everything I can to try to help these ministries, and that's the heartbeat of our ministry. But I love this place. I thank God for this place. I thank God for you and what God is doing in this place. But let's not limit the power of God in our lives. We restrict the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.